Praise the Lord. In the previous lesson, we had looked in deep into the genealogy and the office of Christ, the King. As we were studying the King's characteristics and status. In this lesson, we are going to start from Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. And we are going to look into the origin and the name as of Jesus Christ, as he was born as a God-man and he was called as Emmanuel by men. Chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. It says that the origin of Jesus Christ was in this way. His mother Mary, after she had been engaged to Joseph, before they came together, was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. Now, although Christ was born of Mary, he was a child of the Holy Spirit. The birth of Christ is directly of the Holy Spirit. The source was the Holy Spirit, and his element was divine. Though through the Virgin Mary he put on the fleshly covering, and was of flesh and blood, taking the human nature, we see that he took the likeness of flesh. When we turn to Romans chapter 8 and verse number 3, it reads like this: For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh on account of sin. So he took the likeness of flesh on our behalf because of the sin that he had to take upon himself. We also see that he came in the likeness of men. We read in Philippians chapter 2 and verse number 7 like this: But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. So Jesus put on flesh through being born through a flesh, a woman called Mary. Verse number 19 says that Joseph, her husband, being righteous and not willing to disgrace her openly, intended to send her away secretly. A righteous man at that time was one who was walking in all of the commandments and the ordinances of God. Like the one who was living according to the law of God, and one who was fulfilling everything the law required. We see that a glimpse in Luke chapter 1 verse number 6. And Joseph was such a person. It says that he intended to send her away secretly. He intended to release her. We need to understand that in those days an engagement was as serious as a marriage. So breaking an engagement would require a divorce. And that would be a disgrace for the woman who is sent away, because her life forever will be condemned as a woman whose engagement has broken away. But Joseph, being a just man, he wanted to send her away secretly, which shows his good nature. Verse number 20, it says that as he was thinking about these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Do not be afraid to take Mary your wife, because what which was begotten in her is of the Holy Spirit. What was begotten out of her was out of the Holy Spirit. So we see that Joseph changes his mind here. And then the angel says that she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Jesus is a Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name Joshua. We read that in Numbers chapter 13 verse 16, which means Jehovah the Savior, or the salvation of Jehovah. Hence, Jesus was not only a man, but Jehovah, and not only Jehovah, but Jehovah who became our salvation. Thus, he is our Savior. He is also our Joshua, the one who brings us to rest. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 8, we read like this: for if Joshua had given them rest, he would not afterward have spoken of another day. This is the Joshua we are talking about. And we also read another passage in Matthew where Jesus is speaking about the rest, and he says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest in your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So Jesus, who is the form of Joshua, who brought rest to the children of Israel by conquering and inheriting the land of Israel, Jesus, on a spiritual sense, is the one who is bringing us rest. And he has brought us into a good land that we can rest in. Verse number 22 says that this was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled. Now, prophet is somebody who was in the Old Testament a foreteller. In the scriptures, a prophet is the one who speaks for God, speaks forth God, and he predicts. Verse number 23 says that, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel, which means, it is translated, God with us. This is the son of the virgin, is the same as the seed of the woman prophesied in Genesis 3 verse 15. Jesus was the name given by God, whereas Emmanuel, which means God with us, was the name by which men called him. It says they shall call his name Emmanuel. So Jesus is the Savior, and he is the Son of God with us. He is God, who is God incarnated to dwell among us, as it says in John chapter 1 verse 14. He is not only God, but he is God with us. Now Christ, as the very Emmanuel, was not only was with us when he was on this earth, but he is also with us since his ascension. As it says in Matthew chapter 18 verse 20, where two or more of you gather in my name, I am there in the midst of them. So whenever we gather in the name of Jesus, we see he is with us as Emmanuel. Also, he said that he is going to be with us all the days until the end of the age. He says, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the age, in Matthew 28 verse 21. So he has truly become the Emmanuel, who is God with us. Verse number 25 says, he did not know her until she bore a son, and he called his name Jesus. So the birth of Christ was prepared and accomplished by God through his sovereign plan and purpose. So by his sovereign plan, God brought back to Judea from the captivity in Babylon the ancestors of both Joseph and Mary under the leadership of their forefather Zerubbabel. We read that in Ezra chapter 5 verse 1 to 2. Again, by his sovereign plan, God placed both Joseph and Mary in the same city, which is Nazareth. We read that in Luke chapter 1 verse 26 and Luke chapter 2 verse 4. Even more, by his sovereign plan, God brought Joseph and Mary together in marriage so that Christ could be born, brought in as a legal heir of the throne of David. Now we are going to go into chapter 2. And as we read this chapter, we see the youth and the growth of Jesus the Christ. And he was called as a Nazarene. If we divide this chapter, we can do that in different ways. In fact, in five different ways we can divide the chapter. Verses 1 to 12, Jesus is sought and worshipped by the Gentile Magi. From verses 7 to 8, he is envied. Jesus is envied by Herod the king. Verses 13 to 15, Jesus and his parents are fleeing to Egypt. verses 16 to 18, Jesus is sought by Herod the king for destruction. And verses 19 to 23, Jesus and his parents are returning and coming back to dwell in Nazareth. So this is the youth and the growth of Jesus, who is called the Nazarene. Chapter 2, verse number 1. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem. Luke's record concerning the youth of Christ proves that he is a proper man that we see in Luke chapter 2 verse 15 to 22, whereas Matthew's record is very different from Luke, and he testifies that Christ is a proper king, the Christ prophesied in the scriptures. The Jews had the scriptures concerning Christ. The Magi from the east saw Christ's star. We see that Numbers 24 verse 17 regarding the star that is going to appear. The Jews had mental knowledge in dead letters concerning Christ, whereas the Magi received a living vision concerning him. So after receiving the living vision, the Magi, they were misled by their human concept and went to Jerusalem, the capital of the Jewish nation, where the king was presumed to be born. Because of that misleading, it caused many young boys to be killed. But after they were connected back to the scriptures, they went to Bethlehem and a star appeared to them and led them to the place where Christ was. We see that in verses 9 to 10. So in all this, we see that the Magi, they got corrected by the scriptures. In verses 4 to 6 of chapter 2, they went to Bethlehem, that we see in verses 8 to 9. And then we see that they went to the very place where Christ was, verses 9 to 10. In verse number 4, we read that all the chief priests and the scribes gathered, and there they inquired, the king inquired, where Christ was to be born. The priests were those who taught people the law. The scribes were those who knew the scriptures, as we see in Ezra chapter 7 verse 6. So both the priests and the scribes had knowledge concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. But unlike the Magi from the east, they did not see the vision, nor did they have a heart to seek after Christ. Verse number 6, it says, the princes of Judah that are mentioned are the cities. It says, Bethlehem, though you are the least among all the other cities, but out of you shall come a ruler. So when the Magi was corrected by the scriptures, they were restored to the right track. It says the star appeared again. We see in verse number 9. Again the star appeared and led them to the place where the child was. So living vision will always accompany the scriptures. If you turn back into Luke 2 verse 16, it says the shepherd found the baby Jesus in a manger. But after this, the Magi from the east saw the child in the house. And that is what is written here. And in verse number 11, it says that they came into the house and they worshipped him, it says, through gifts, as they would worship God. Now only God is worthy of worship, and that is what Christ said in Matthew chapter 4 verse 10, that you shall worship the Lord your God. So the Magi had a true revelation that the baby that was there in that house was Jesus, who was God incarnate, and that is how they worshipped him. When they offered him gifts, they were gold, frankincense and myrrh in verse number 11. In figurative terms, gold signifies the divine nature of God. Frankincense shows the fragrance of the resurrection, and myrrh is the fragrance of death. The offerings of these gifts by the Magi were undoubtedly by the inspiration of the God Spirit, and this is to indicate the worth of Christ's divine nature, the value or the preciousness of his resurrection and death. In the four Gospels, which are the biographies of Jesus, these things signified by the treasures are seen throughout Jesus' life, which is the divine nature, which is the resurrection, and which is the death of Christ. Moreover, the precious treasures that were offered by the Magi must have provided for the Lord's journey from Judea to Egypt and from Egypt to Nazareth. In verse number 12, it says that they were Joseph and Mary were divinely instructed not to turn back to Herod, but go another way. So once we have seen Christ, we never take the same way, but always we take another way, like the Magi did. Verse number 15, it says that the fulfillment of the prophecy, which was saying that out of Egypt I call my son, was a fulfillment of the prophecy in Hosea chapter 11 verse 1. It was carried out by God through the Magi's mistake in going to Jerusalem. God is sovereign even through our mistakes. And it says that from Egypt it joins Christ to Israel. And verse number 16, it says that all the young boys 2 years and under were killed by Herod the king, and this is the first martyrdom in the New Testament as it relates to Christ. Verse number 18, this is a prophecy of Jeremiah the prophet fulfilled. A voice in Ramah was heard, weeping and great lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children, and she would not be comforted because they are no more. Now Rachel, who was the wife of Jacob, was buried on the way to Bethlehem. We read that in Genesis 35 verse 19 and Genesis 48 verses 7. Ramah is located in the territory of Benjamin. We read that in Joshua chapter 18 verses 21 to 28. Who was the son, and Benjamin was the son of Rachel, as we see in Genesis 35, 15 to 18. And this was not far from the site of Rachel's tomb. So the young boys killed by Herod are considered the children of Rachel in this poetic prophecy. Verse number 20 says that go to the land of Israel back, because those who are seeking the life of the child have died. The life is signifying the soul of the child. They have died. Verse number 22, and because he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and having been divinely instructed in a dream, he departed into the regions of Galilee. So we see that Galilee of the Gentiles, it was a place that was despised by the people. Read that in John chapter 17 verse 41 and 52. Though Christ was born in the honored Judea, but he was raised in the despised Galilee. Verse number 23 says he came and settled in a city called Nazareth. So that which was fulfilled by the prophets might be fulfilled, that says that he shall be called a Nazarene. Under God's sovereign arrangement, Caesar Augustus ordered the first census of the Roman Empire. We read that in Luke 2 verses 1 to 3. It was through that census that Christ was born in Bethlehem, to fulfill the prophecy concerning the birth in Micah chapter 5 verse 2. He was there for a short time, but because of Herod's persecution, he was taken to Egypt, and subsequently he was brought back to the land of Israel. Because of Archelaus reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, Christ was brought to Nazareth, a despised city of Galilee, and he was raised there. He was born in the esteemed city of town of Bethlehem, but he grew up in the despised city of Nazareth. And hence, he was called as a Nazarene. To follow Christ, not only we should follow and obey the scriptures concerning him, but also we should follow the instant leadings such as Joseph had in his dreams. So when we, in our life, when we care only for the scriptures but neglect the instant leadings, that may cause us to miss Christ, as happened to the Jewish priests and the scribes. And to get the instant leadings from God, it would require a heart that is seeking for him. It says in verse number 23 that was spoken through the prophets. It's prophets in plural, indicating that it was not a particular prophecy, but by several prophecies, such as the one in Psalms 22, verses 6 and 7. The title Nazarene may refer to the branch in Isaiah 11 verse 1, which in Hebrew is called Netzer. The branch, which signifies Christ, is a sprout from the stump of Jesse, the father of David. By the time Jesus was born, the throne of David had been overthrown. This means that the royal stem of David had been cut off. Now a new sprout came forth from the stump of Jesse and grew out of the roots. The emerging and the growing of the sprout was in a situation of humiliation. Jesus was not born in a recognized or honored royal home, nor did he grow up in a renowned city such as Jerusalem. Rather, he was born in a poor home, and he grew up in a despised town. All this made him as a Nazarene, a branch, not a lofty branch of a stately tree, but an insignificant sprout from the stump of Jesse. This concludes the growth and the youth stages of Jesus, who was called the Nazarene. During the next lesson, we are going into the king's, we are going to look into the king's anointing when we start chapter number 3. May God bless you.